What's up, everybody? It's Joshua, and I'm bringing you another installment of the Final X Legends podcast. This is the Billion Dollars Writer Club. I have a Mr. Luke Flanagan, who is going to be our creative highlight for the day, who is writing an intricate and amazing political fiction novel. Mr. Luke, how are you today?
Good, Joshua. How are you? Excited to be here, man.
Good. You know, I'm doing well. You know, it's, you know, an honor to have you on this podcast. You know, a political fiction, but is so. Let me ask you real quick: is that something on some like deep espionage, Mission Impossible type level, or is this like some like Wolf of Wall Street, you know, business tycoon, you know, like what you got going on?
Yeah, it's much closer to the former rather than the latter, I guess. But it's all about government conspiracies, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it boils down to in the end. So, yeah, that's the kind of area that we're looking at.
Yeah, and what if you were to like compare your series to some books that are out there? Because right now my mind is already like, you know, jumping from a couple of different like possibilities. Now, is this like fiction world grounded in serious realism with the conspiracies, or does this lead off into like other government conspiracies where they like got like zombie testing, or you know, some crazy, you know, mythological occult type things, or is this just more grounded in like you know government agencies sending Delta Force agents to go recover a microchip type deal? Like what is it, you know? Okay, like tell us some of your like highlight characters and plot arcs.
Yeah, okay, so how we basically start is with obviously the way the world currently is, that lots of the world is still in lockdown. I mean, I live in Britain, so we're currently on our third lockdown.
Wow.
Due to the COVID outbreak from last year, obviously. I know you guys are, you know, you're suffering with that still, and it's a big problem until we have the vaccinations all kind of rolled out. So it's kind of set in the near future. So it's not set right now. It's set like 3 years in the future, 2-3 years in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the backdrop that we've got now, but a little bit kind of more distorted. So you're kind of talking dystopian political fiction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's much more kind of looking at what could happen as a result of some of the freedoms and liberties that may be taken away as a necessary kind of measure to make sure that people are safe. You know, that idea of you can't leave your house mm-hmm. for unless certain kind of, for exercise or to get essential groceries, you know, all that sort of stuff. You can do that, but you can't meet with your friends. You know, you've got to work from home if you can. Basically, the streets are, you know, you've seen kind of 28 Days Later style films, mm-hmm. I guess, you know, kind of zombie style things. So the idea is that the streets are kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the novel, it's a novella, really. I mean, novellas are usually between about, say, 10,000 and 30,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
This one kind of is it's a shorter novella. It's kind of near 12,000, 30,000 mm-hmm. words, I guess. And the first installment is called Pandemic, What If Your Government Lied to You About the Virus?
Oh, Lord.
So it's kind of set in two or 3 years time where, yeah, there was a real pandemic. Mm-hmm. This really happened, you know. But the kind of arc of the story is that a teacher who's called Robert Connolly is the main character, who goes by Bob. He has an upper sixth class, so you're talking like last year of high school age, you know, like sort of 17, 18.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all kind of smart switched on kids, and they're all into these government conspiracies. They're already into kind of researching about, you know, why are we still doing this lockdown? Is this virus still even a thing?
Mm-hmm.
So 2-3 years in the future, and they stumble upon, without giving too many spoilers, they stumble upon some evidence that actually proves that, you know, they are being controlled. There is no real threat. And the deeper you get into it, the less and less people you can trust. And that's kind of the whole arc of the whole thing. I feel like I've gone on for quite a long time. So, but I think I've kind of given everything that people might want to know, but without going into too many spoilers, because the worst thing you could do is spoil your own book, right?
I believe that, and I also don't at the same time. Because at the stage of initial and breakout, And I've used this with a few people that I've interviewed with, and that is to, you know, get everyone hyped. Like, there, have you? I mean, I'm fairly sure you know what anime is. I'm an anime geek. It's something about me. I love it. It is what it is. There's a popular anime out called Attack on Titan. Or have you ever heard of it?
I've not heard that. No, I'm aware of obviously anime, and it's not. I mean, being a dad to three kids, you see things all the time, but I'm not into it as probably deeply as I will be. Maybe in about 10 years when my son really gets into it,
You know what? When you get a chance, if he's into anime and you know, if he is an anime, I guarantee you he knows what Attack on Titan is and is more than likely watching it, especially after the latest episode just dropped. It was one of the most anticipated episodes of the series since it was initially written. You know, a lot of the readers of the original manga story have been anticipating, and so is everybody else. But the thing is, you know, on the note of spoiling your story, you know, I want a lot of creators and writers to focus on a way of spoiling their story without spoil the hook without having to spoil the whole arc. And what I mean by that is in episode one of this anime, chapter one of it, you find out that there's a main character. These people, they live in this world where they're stuck inside these massive walls, and on the other side of these walls are these titans, these large naked humans that eat people for no obscene reason. They don't even need to eat them for nutrients because they regurgitate them. They can't digest. So they're just, you know, there's just, imagine giant zombies. That's essentially what they are, you know?
Okay.
And in episode one, you know, you got the main character. He wants to go outside the walls, and, you know, right at the like beginning, like within the first like 10 to 12 minutes, you know, a massive titan that they've never seen before shows up that's larger than the wall and kicks a hole in it. These titans invade, they come in and they're eating people. It don't matter if they're babies, women, children, men, it doesn't matter. They're all getting just eaten. And the main character's mother gets eaten right in front of him as he's having to be dragged away by a soldier who's carrying him and his sister. And it's like, you know, when I first seen that the anime, and I told people that, they're like, what? They're like, you know, I'm telling you about it. You like, man, like, you know, fit, you, like, I want you and other writers to figure out a way of gripping and pulling somebody in. Now the story completely evolves. Like, I mean, I would love to tell you about it, but I mean, it is like people at this point, like you like we used to be like, oh, it's like the Game of Thrones of anime. No, like Attack on Titan is better in story wise than Game of Thrones at this point. Like I believe people who don't even watch anime should watch that anime because the storytelling is phenomenal. Like, I mean, it is so brilliant that it's recently affected how I storytell at this point. Like, I mean, I can't even spoil it for you. I would highly advise you watch it so that way you can see what I mean by the realm of storytelling. But the main point was just, you know, being able to grip people in with like a initial hook without having to spoil. And the reason why is because I believe I've heard everybody say that, oh, I don't want to spoil the story, I don't want to say too much. Every time a writer or creator says those words, you're immediately creating a barrier between you and your listener. And that immediately makes somebody feel like, you know, that they're, it's not like it's in like you're saying like, oh, it's a way of trying to like manipulate them into wanting to get the book, you know, like, I don't want to spoil it for you, so you got to get the book, you know. They know that you want them to buy the book. You know, go ahead and, I mean, don't obviously like spoil like the most like intricate, you know, that one thing that, you know, is, but I believe there are always good like plot points and overall like story arcs or certain, you know, just characters that you've built or maybe certain systems that you've put in place that exist within the framework of your story or a way that you world built that plays a massive part. And like that, right? Like whatever it is that you got, your flair, you need to lead off with that. Like I'm an active listener. I actively listen into people, but not everybody does that. And not everybody is as much of an empath and can relate. So you gotta master that ability. I want you to. And the reason I'm telling you that is because everybody that comes in this show take something from me. You have blessed us with your knowledge, your story, and you're giving us a wonderful journey to go on. And I want you to come back on this show on a monthly or every other month basis so we can hear about your growth and hear about new projects you have going on and see how much further you're developing this story or see if you step into the realm of another genre and whatnot. Like that's what this is for, you know? Mm. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Understood. I can give you another couple of kind of hints if you like, without kind of going too
much. I would like to know who's your main character.
Okay. So the main character is called Robert Connolly, who goes by the name Bob.
You were telling us about him, but I want to know what connects you with this character, like what inspired him, inspired okay. this what is
so this guy is not any kind of one person. It's based on kind of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it comes from personal experience of my own. So I'm a high school teacher myself, and I have been for around 10, 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
I actually went, just kind of backstory to this, I went to university or college, depending on where you're from, 2004 to 2008, and I did a year, so 2006 to 2007, I actually came and lived in the States.
Nice, where at?
So I was in Ellensburg, Washington.
What part of the States did you come to?
Ellensburg, Washington it was that I came to.
Okay.
So Washington State. It's a kind of about two hours in, kind of east from Seattle.
Okay.
So it's just over like Cascadia Mountains kind of thing. So it's kind of the, I don't know how you would describe Ellensburg. There's maybe about 10, 12,000 people, the majority of them are students, you know, so it's kind of small town, but it's close enough to be near a big city like Seattle. So I went there, and I did a lot of political science classes and stuff there.
Mm.
Really interested in like literature, American history, stuff like that. And then when I finished university, so I went back, did another year here, and then decided I wanted to be a teacher. So I worked hard at like kind of not necessarily volunteering, but working with kids in schools. Particularly kind of bad behaved kids. So it was kind of, you know, if they're having a tough time in the lesson, I would be kind of the key worker for that kid, be the one that they kind of ranted to, and I tried to give them, you know, support and different encouragement and stuff.
That's beautiful. That
I really liked that. And I thought, well, I'd like to go into kind of teaching full time. So I did. I applied to do a teaching course, which I got onto, and essentially I taught couple of subjects unqualified to kind of, I would say, junior and freshman of high school year,
mm-hmm.
Like kind of things like kind of sociology, politics, things like that. And in the end, I qualified to be a teacher of English. And I then got my first teaching job, proper teaching job, at a place I'm still at now.
Amazing.
And I worked with a lot of people there. Lots of whom shaped kind of who I am as a teacher, who I am as a person as well. There's some amazing people that I've met when I first got there. It's very different now. Obviously, the landscape has changed over the last 10 years with so many different jobs, and education is just one of those. But it's changed a lot. But the way that I was introduced to teaching was very kind of radical, and the people were so supportive and so unique, each of them. So I've kind of taken a bit of lots of different people that I knew,
mm-hmm.
and kind of built this one character, which is Bob, which is actually it's a reference to Fight Club, because there's a I don't know if you've read Fight Club or seen the movie, but
of course
there's a Robert Paulson is the guy who Meatloaf plays in the film. So it's kind of a little kind of homage to that, I guess.
I love that. Yo, like, sorry to cut you off real quick, but my best friend, it's funny how my friend, I got a very cool, unique friend dynamic, and my best friend's younger brother, he is a character straight out of Fight Club. Like, I kid you not, like, he and I have, like, for fun, just punch each other constantly for no, like on some Dragon Ball Z stuff. Like, we'll just come and just start hitting each other, just for sport. I love that you have that homage. I'm definitely gonna talk to him later about you and you know, recommend this book to him, let him know who you are, and get him to listen to this podcast when it goes up, so that way, you know, y'all get connected. I think he's somebody that you could talk to and develop another character off of, honestly. But yeah, as you were saying.
Yeah. So it's a Fight Club reference. That'd be really good. Fight Club's one of the best films I've seen in the last, well, since I've been alive. It came out in 1999, I think. But it was one of the films I actually taught to film study students maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. So it really stuck in my head. And the twist that you got at the end of Fight Club kind of inspired what I did in some respects, although the novel is obviously nothing like Fight Club. There are little bits here and there of different things that I've obviously taken from film and literature and then people that I've met. So maybe there's kind of something of me in that character, but there's also something of so many other people. It's not really based on one guy, but it's like bits that I've known from people all over, I guess. And this, the Bob, the character, is a teacher, and he's kind of maybe a little bit fed up with the job, you know?
Yeah.
But he's got that one class. There's always one class every year that you get, and you prefer, you don't even know why, but you always prefer teaching them. Maybe it's the subject, maybe it's just the relationship you have with those students. It's a small group that he's got in this book. There's about 6 students, and all of them are kind of intellectually, you know, challenging to him, and they ask awkward questions, and they always challenge him on different things. And he basically teaches them kind of film and media studies mixed together. So obviously that's something else that I've had experience of, but I've talked with other people that I've learned off, a lot off, and it kind of links into that as well, I guess. But this guy lives for these classes where he's teaching these students that are about to go off to university. He's like senior year high school students, you know. And they always have these little meetings, which they shouldn't do. So you've got obviously the idea of lockdown, mm-hmm. and all the controls from the government have been put on there. They're still in place 2-3 years after the original pandemic. Mm-hmm. And all of them are bright kids. They're asking questions all the time, and they're looking into different online blogs and all of these kind of things. And they're saying, look, I'm looking at this government data, and I'm not sure that there's even been cases of this supposed virus, you know. And why are we still doing all of these different things? We must wear masks. We can't go out. You know, the bars and everything are still not open. Sports still not going. So they're smart kids, and they're asking all the time. And obviously the character of Bob, the teacher, really thrives off that, you know, and he gives them a homework challenge. He's a teacher, and you'll see if, you know, if you're reading this, you know, you'll go, this teacher wants the kids to learn in class, but he's not the one for going, right, you must do this homework, you must do that. He's much more kind of, if you want to do that, that's great, but, you know, I'm not going to tell you, I shouldn't have to tell you, you have to work, you know. But he gives them a specific task, and that is to try and find some raw data that proves that what they are being told about the government that they found in this online blog, which basically says that the pandemic, everything else has finished, and the government is still controlling people by saying it's still out there. And they find it, but they find it ridiculously easily. And nothing adds up about the way they find out that data. They basically find proof from a government email that the population are still being controlled. And they have no idea how they got hold of that so easily. That's one of the main kind of questions, the central questions that you don't get the answers to until right at the very end. And once they've got that, he kind of alerts the head teacher, but he doesn't rate that head teacher very much. Mm-hmm. He doesn't think he's a particularly good leader. And again, like obviously when I've written this character, this Bob character has got the guy who hired him originally, say, mm-hmm. 10 years ago, he kind of looks up to him. He's like his teaching hero, you know. Mm-hmm. He was the one who gave him his first chance in teaching, and he thinks he was this inspirational guy and brilliant guy to learn off of. And this guy's now retired, and obviously they keep trying to replace him, and there's never a good headmaster or head teacher as there was when he was first starting out, because he was the one who kind of hired him, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's just kind of like, yeah, I'm gonna tell the head teacher. I don't really rate him, but if I found out that all of this information is potentially gonna say, well, you know, the government are controlling us. I'm gonna tell the guy above me in the school because they found it on school grounds. So they go to him and they tell him this. And coincidentally, the next day, there is an even stricter lockdown, but only in two places of the country.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is where the teacher lives, and one of them is where the teacher works. So he thinks that there must be some kind of leak to do with that. So they found the evidence that the government are controlling everybody with this fake pandemic thing, that the pandemic's over. It's now something that's just about control. And as soon as he's talked to the powers that be above him in charge of the school, impose a stricter lockdown.
That sounds insane. Like I'm like envisioning, you know, something wild and crazy. I got so lost in like just envisioning this whole like deep plot Death Note style, like it was crazy. Like I was thinking this was more of like going to be like a I was picturing like something like crazily episodic on like some Breaking Bad type deal. But like real quick, like where can we find like your books and publishings or get in touch with you on any links that you have that you'd be willing to share?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did it. I actually self-published. If you want the journey of how I wrote this, because I'm sure that's probably one of the things you would ask me anyway. I always wanted to write, but I've actually been writing for different publications for sport over the last year. So in addition to the teaching that I do, I cover live sports still as well. So I cover soccer over here in the UK. So I'm in a privileged position where I'm still able to go to live games and watch the games and cover it for different publications. So that obviously, that was something that I aimed to do. The lockdown hit when we were first under the pandemic around March time. And I just wanted something to, you know, we couldn't leave the house, we couldn't do what we wanted to do. I couldn't even teach the kids that I was supposed to be teaching, apart from built messages online where you had to send the work in and then you'd send it back. And it was just something to kind of distract me from everything that was going on. So I started sports writing, seem to have done really well with that, because I've been picked up by an online publication called Fable, which you guys have over in the US too. And I remotely cover some MLS games. So I do watch American soccer too. And obviously I'm not able to go over to the games over in the States from England.
No, not at all.
But yeah, I watch the games remotely and still do some press conferences and things like that. I did MLS's back tournament final. So I was in some of the post-match press conferences for that. So that really gave me a kind of inspiration to keep writing. And I still do that now. I've got a match tomorrow I'm covering, actually, on my weekend, my weekend off. But I went the more I got back to school from September, because that's when our term starts again, similar to yours, I guess. I think yours starts at the end of August, but you guys have been doing online teaching a lot, I guess. I think a lot of schools have not been open, depending on what district you're in. I have a close friend called Tom who's over in Colorado, in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been telling me all sorts
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, it's insane out here. But, I mean, I'm in Miami, Florida, and I couldn't even tell you, you know, how crazy it is. But, Luke, that is all the time we have for today. Once again, can you let everybody know the name of your book and exactly where they can go ahead and find it?
Yeah, so it's on Amazon. In the UK, you'll be able to get the ebook edition and the print. But in the States and the rest of the world, you can only buy the paperback version. It's through Kindle Direct Publishing. So you search it. It's called Pandemic, What If Your Government Lied to You About the Virus? And it's on Amazon through there.
Guys, thank you for being a part of this wonderful podcast. Mr. Luke, thank you for all of your knowledge, all of your contributions to the world. Thank you for all of the students and youth that you helped. I have a lot of people come in here and they're children's authors and they focus with, you know, young kids, but it's nice to know that you were helping out, you know, teenagers and young adults. So I appreciate that. And, you know, it's very admirable, because that's, you know, each age group is difficult to deal with, but, you know, That's a different animal all on its own. So
it can be. But absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity and the talk. It's been most great. I'd love to come on again at some point in the future and discuss how the sequel is that I'm currently writing. I'm writing a second one, so not sure when I'll be able to finish that, but I've got all the ideas there. I am going to go a different way with it. I hope to shock people and to take it somewhere else. That'll be something, a conversation for the future, I guess. But thanks for the opportunity, man. It's been great.
No, it was my honor. It was wonderful to have you, and I look forward to everything that you're doing. And I need to sit down and meditate on things that I can do that will help push you further and get your work out there. As long as you're willing to put in the work yourself, which you obviously are. So, everyone, this has been Mr. Luke Flanagan. This has been Final X Legends Podcast. This is another billion-dollar writer that you guys have right in front of you guys. Be a part of the movement. Be a wonderful weaver of words. Paint those pictures in the minds of everyone that you write for. You guys have a wonderful day. Stay blessed. Take care. I love you guys. Bye.